And reading from Matthew chapter 2, verse 1 down to verse 8. Well, actually, verse 11. Okay? So I'll read. Now, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him." When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Israel or Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. They said unto him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, 'And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah. For out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel.'" Then Herod, when he had privily or privately called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search diligently for the young child. And when you have found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also." When they had heard the king, they departed. And lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, or when they saw it stopped, they rejoiced with exceeding joy, great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way, a different way. Father, thank you for this service today. We are so aware of your presence. We're so aware, Lord, of your goodness and your mercy. We're so aware of the greatest gift that's ever been given, the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, help us to receive something from this word today that will encourage us and help us to draw closer to you. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So the Bible says the wise men brought their gifts to Jesus and they left a different way. They left another way. Now I know when I'm reading that's talking about the path they traveled, the road they traveled. They did not go back by the same road. In other words, they didn't go back to Herod. God warned them, the Bible said, being warned in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they went a different way. They went another way. And so I know that that's talking physically about the path that they traveled, but I believe there's a spiritual truth in that. I believe there's something God wants us to see. And number one, it's this: wise men still seek him.
Amen.
Wise men still seek for him. They still seek Jesus. The wisest thing we can do is seek Jesus. And the greatest wisdom we can manifest in our life is to seek the Lord. And somebody already said, I think it was Sister Pam, said not just once, not just on Sunday, not just on Christmas, but every day of the year, every day, we are seeking the Lord. We're seeking the Lord. And then number two is this: anyone who truly encounters Jesus will leave a different way. They went home another way. They went home different. Anyone who truly encounters the Lord Jesus Christ cannot remain the same. You will leave a different way. I'm going to ask you a personal question today. Matter of fact, two questions. Number one, have you met Jesus? Have you met him? We're not talking about religion. We're not talking about just going to church. We're not just talking about going through the motions or even singing Christmas carols. We're talking about having a personal encounter and relationship with Jesus Christ. Have you met him personally? Number two, what difference has he made in your life? If you've met him, what difference has he made in your life? Did you leave a different way? Did you leave another way? Did you leave different than when you came? Did he change you? What difference did he make in you? Are you a different person today than you were before you met him? Has he changed your desires? Do you still want the same things you used to want before you met him? Did he take away your desire for sin? Did he give you a desire for the things of God? Did he put in your heart a love for people? Did he give you a desire to be in the house of God? Did he clean up your conversations? When the wise men left Jesus, they left a different way. And what is the difference that Jesus has made in your life? Did he deliver you from a bad temper? You know, Smith Wigglesworth. How many have heard of Smith Wigglesworth? Probably one of the greatest men of God that's ever lived. An apostle of faith, they called him. Smith Wigglesworth had a horrible temper. Horrible temper. His wife said something on the table. If she didn't set it just right, if she didn't put salt on his food or whatever, he got so gruff. And he was a Christian at the time, but he was just a horrible, he had a horrible temper. And so God delivered him from a bad temper. Somebody said one time, and said, if you preach about temper, you will hit about 3 out of 5. Did he change you? I'm so glad he changed me. I'm so glad he changed me. Did he make a difference in your life? Did he give you a heart of compassion for the lost? Did he sanctify your eyes? Can your eyes still look at the field? I don't know about you, but I'm just going to say something right here, okay? Have you noticed the commercials now that they're putting on TV? Have you noticed that even like Walgreens commercial are stopping short of cussing? Just one phrase short of cussing. Just bring you right up to that point. What the? Like, what's going on with these people? You know what they're trying to do? They're trying to plant the seed of filth, dirt,
that's right,
profanity in your mind to make it normal. Can your eyes still look at the things that they used to look at? David said, or Job said, I make a covenant with my eyes. I make a covenant with my eyes. I've got a covenant with my eyes. I'm not going to look at, David said, I will not set any wicked thing before my eyes. And he said, I will walk uprightly before the Lord in my own house. In other words, in my own house there will be integrity. Not because somebody's watching me, but because I have a covenant between my eyes, my heart, and God. He made a difference in my life. I can't watch what I used to watch. I can't listen to what I used to listen to. When you meet Jesus, he will make a difference in your life. He will change you. Change you. Did he give meaning and purpose to your life? When Saul encountered Jesus, it was so real. It was so personal. It was so powerful that he became another person. He became Paul. Hallelujah. That old man died. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things passed away. Behold, all things become new. What is the difference he made in your life? That's the question today. What is the difference he made in your life? Can you see the difference? Can you see the difference? Do you know the difference he's made in your life? Can others see the difference he's made in your life? Does the difference in you cause other people to want to know him for themselves? For their selves. Does what they see in you make them want to know him for their selves? For themselves. I can remember when I was a young kid, we went to a church and had a man in the church, and he had a bumper sticker on his car. It said, "The difference in me is Jesus."
Amen.
And then when he got out, he had long stringy hair. He had an old beard, and like Brother Frank. No, no. And his language wasn't cleaned up. He still had bad language. He still smoked. He still did this. He still did that. But he said, but he had a bumper sticker on his car, "The difference in me is Jesus." I'm thinking, please, brother, don't advertise like that. Don't advertise like that. Don't put a sticker on your bumper until there is a difference. Does the difference in you cause other people to want to know him for themselves? The Bible says that we are to be salt and we're to be light to the world. He said, he set us on a hill, like a city on the hill. And he said, you are the light of the world. Let your light so shine before men, they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. We're supposed to be salty and make people thirsty for the Lord. Unfortunately, too many Christians are like vinegar and sour lemons. Yes, I'm saved. You want to make something of it? You got to go to heaven too. You got a problem with that? And that's my seat, by the way. Couldn't you tell by the indention? So this process of change, transformation, it's ongoing. It's not one time. It's not a little dabble, do you? It's not just one time we met the Lord and it's all done. We're all changed. We're being changed, the Bible says, from glory to glory by the Spirit of the Lord. We're being changed on a daily basis, moment by moment, into His likeness and into His image. It's ongoing. It's a lifestyle. It's a lifetime of seeking Him until we find Him and encountering Him and then leaving different than we came. He is a rewarder, the Bible says, of them that diligently seek Him. Every time we gather together, it's with the intention of seeking Him and finding Him. Therefore, we should leave being made different, changing because I have met Him. Changing because I've been in His presence. Changing because I've encountered Him for myself. And I leave different than I came. Hallelujah. If you don't leave different than when you came, then what is church for? What are we doing if there's not a difference in your life? What are we doing if it's not making your life better? What are we doing if it's not making Jesus more real to you and manifesting through you? So we're in a constant state of change. The Bible says from glory to glory, we're being changed. And you can leave different today. Different than you came. You may have come in sick, but you can leave healed by the power of God. You may have come in tired and weary, but you can leave refreshed and strengthened and lifted up. You may have come in frustrated and agitated, but you can leave with supernatural peace and joy. Woo! Hallelujah. I'll tell you, I can't look at TV too long without getting aggravated. I can't listen to Hiding Biden very long without getting Sleepy Joe, you know, without getting aggravated. I can't. But I come to the house of the Lord, or I go into my secret place, and I get along with the Lord, and all of a sudden, all that agitation and frustration, it just melts away, and I leave different. Because I encountered Him. You may have come in today with the devil riding your back, beating you down with guilt and condemnation. But you can leave with no guilt, no condemnation to the devil under your feet where he belongs.
Amen.
Everybody say, get under my foot, devil.
Get under my foot, devil.
Hallelujah. That's where he belongs. Somebody said, if you got a message for the devil, write it on the bottom of your shoe. And send him a message. Hallelujah. It doesn't matter who you are, what condition you're in. You should leave here different today. And you will if you encounter Him.
Right.
If you encounter Him, you cannot remain the same.
Right.
Every time we come together, we're given an opportunity as the wise men to bring our gifts to Him.
Yes,
and to leave a different way because we encountered Him. Bringing our gifts to Him. It represents our worship, our hearts, our lives. We bring our hearts, our lives, our worship to Him, our praise. And we offer it up to Him. And as we worship Him, we're being changed. Do you understand that as we worship Him, we're being changed? True worship is the atmosphere of transformation. That was worth the price of admission right there. True worship is the atmosphere of transformation. Transformation happens in the atmosphere of worship. As we behold Him in our worship, we are changed. We're transformed into the same image. Not only can we leave our gifts of love and our adoration, but we leave our hearts. We lay our hearts before Him. He says, and I love this, we can leave our burdens and our woes, our cares. You know, isn't the Lord so wonderful that He says to us, He says, cast all your cares upon Me. Isn't that beautiful? That He invites you to bring to Him not just your gifts and love and all that's wonderful, and He accepts that and He appreciates it, but He also says, bring Me your cares. Bring Me your burdens. Cast all your cares upon Me, for I care for you. He said, don't be anxious for anything, but in all things with prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known unto the Lord. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. And then He said something like this. He said, come boldly before the throne of grace. Come boldly, that you may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. That's an invitation, a standing invitation. We can bring our cares to Him. We don't have to be anxious. We can come boldly before Him. This is Jesus. He's on the inside. He's working on the outside. Oh, what a change in my life. He's making a difference. I'm glad today. We don't have to journey to the other side of the earth to a place called Bethlehem to meet the Savior.
That's right.
The journey today is only about 12 inches from the head to the heart. And some people will spend a lifetime trying to make that journey of 12 inches from the head to the heart. Because it's not Jesus in the head that saves you. It's Jesus in the heart. Oh, we used to sing that song when we were little kids. And I'm going to tell you, I can remember this. We'd go up there, and the pastor would pray over the little children. We'd kneel at the altar, and they'd sing that song. Into my heart, into my heart. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Come in today, come in to stay. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. I learned that when I was about that tall. But I'm going to tell you something. It was real.
Yes, it was real.
And then that pastor would start praying while they were singing that little song. And I could feel Jesus touching my heart. I could feel He was really there. I could feel it wasn't just an imagination. It wasn't just something that I made up or that the church made up for us. It was real. Jesus was real. Jesus was coming into my heart, and He was making His home in my heart. And He was making a difference in my life.
Amen.
It's a hard issue. It's a hard issue. You know, you can have Jesus in the head and go to hell. Jesus in the head is not enough. It doesn't save you. It's His heart. It's the heart. It's the heart that He wants. It's the heart. If head knowledge was all it took, think about this. If head knowledge is all it took, the lawyers, the scribes, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the chief priests should have been the most saved people of all. And yet they're the ones who crucified Jesus. The chief priests, the rulers. They're the ones, the lawyers, the scribes, the Pharisees, all those that had such great knowledge of the law. They're the ones who crucified Him, because it's not, head knowledge is not enough. You've got to know Him in the heart. Many times, let me just say this, we celebrate Christmas as though Jesus, the Christ, was born on Christmas. Now, think about this. The Christ was not born on Christmas. The Christ was pre-existent. The Christ existed before time. And He stepped into time. And then He stepped into the womb of a virgin. Then He stepped into our realm so He could become flesh. So He could die on a cross. So He could deliver us from our sins. Hallelujah. And that time, that frame, that season is rightly called an Advent. Because it is Advent or appearance of or arrival of. Because that's what happened to Christ, who is pre-existent, stepped out of eternity and stepped in time and wrapped himself in flesh and walked among us, became just like one of us, so he could experience. The Bible says he was tempted in all manner like as we are, yet without sin, so he could be a faithful high priest. So when he made intercessions, he was making intercession from a knowing place. I know what they feel like. I know their pain. I know their grief. I know their sorrow. I know the confusion. I know the frustration. I know the agitation. I know the anger. I know the hurt. I know the brokenness. And I can intercede for them. Wise men sought him then. Wise men still seek him. As it was then, it is today. There were those, just like then, fear him. I want to tell you something. This society fears Jesus. They really do. They're afraid of Jesus. They want to eradicate him. You know, Target used to have quite a bit of selection of religious books.
Yeah.
They got like maybe two in there now. It's nothing but a propaganda store for the left.
Yeah.
All they do is encourage and promote the left and the agenda of the left. It's true. Walmart's becoming the same way. I walked into a bookstore the other day in Santa Maria. They had a whole area there that was religious. It was Bibles and all kinds of good Christian books. And now they got like about three Christian books mixed in with all kinds of New Age garbage. They hate Jesus. Herod didn't want to worship Jesus. He said, go seek him out and come and tell me so I can come and worship him. He didn't want to worship him. He wanted to kill him. He feared him. The Bible said when Herod heard that the king of the Jews was born, the Bible said the whole city was troubled because he was troubled. Because he was frustrated. Because he was afraid. He was afraid his throne was being threatened. There's a king in town. Yes, his name is Jesus.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. So, wise men sought him then. Wise men still seek him. And there are those that fear him now, just as there was then. He's not just a simple babe in a manger. He's the resurrected, glorified Son of God, the King of kings, and the Lord of lords. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
There are all kinds of people that seek him for all kinds of reasons. There's the casual seekers. There's critical seekers. There's religious seekers. There's hypocritical seekers. I put all of them under one category. I call them foolish. Foolish. Then there's the others. There's the hungry seekers, the thirsty seekers, the passionate, the honest, the pure in heart. I put them in the category of the wise. The wise still seek him. We put them all in one category, the wise. So here's the thing. Which category are you in? Are you in the foolish category or are you in the wise category? Wise men still seek him today. Why do we seek him? Do we seek him just for his blessings? Do we seek him just for the gifts that he can give us? Just because he can do this for us or do that for us, he can help us here and help us that, and he can do that. Is that why we seek him? Or do we seek him for who he is?
Amen.
Is it just for his comfort? Is it just for peace? Is it just for the sense of his presence? Is it just for healing for your body? Is it just for financial blessings? What you can get from him? Or could it be that like the wise man, you have recognized he is the king?
Yes.
He's the king.
Yes.
And you're seeking him just for who he is. Remember the Bible says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All these other things will be added to you. You don't have to seek them. You just seek him.
Yes.
Seek him. They come. They come with him. The king brings all of his blessings with him. I promise you, if that's the reason you seek Him, you will leave a different way. You will leave a different person. God is a spirit. They that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. While we're seeking Him, He's seeking us.
Yeah.
So the Bible says, He seeks for those that will worship Him in spirit and in truth. Yeah. While we're seeking Him, He's seeking for us. Yeah. Can I find any true worshipers that just love me for who I am?
Yeah.
Can I find any true worshipers who just want to worship me and receive my presence and not just my presence, not just my gifts?
Yeah.
In other words, you're seeking His face and not just His hand, right?
Yes.
While the wise are seeking Him, He's seeking them. I want to be one of those who seek Him with a whole heart, with a hungry heart, with a pure heart, to worship Him. Not only to lay my gifts at His feet, but to lay my life at His feet.
Amen.
Oh, hallelujah. Can you just lift your hands, just lift up those hands, and just tell them, Lord, I just offer You my life. I give You my life. I give You my life. Not just things, but I give You myself. You know, a lot of people will offer Him things, but He wants your heart. That's what He's really after. I give You my heart. I give You everything I am. Hallelujah. Let me close with this today. During this Christmas season, there are millions of people who will celebrate the season. Millions of people by giving and receiving gifts, but they will not be changed. Because they have not personally received the gift. Jesus said, if you knew the gift of God. Oh, and who it is that talks with you. You would ask of me, and I would have given you living water. And you wouldn't have to come here and drink anymore. You wouldn't be thirsty for this anymore. You would be satisfied because I will put within you a well of living water springing up into everlasting life. Millions will give gifts, receive gifts, but they will not be changed because they have not personally received the gift of God. They will attend services and parties. They'll say Merry Christmas and maybe even sing some Christmas carols, but they'll be as lost as ever because it's not enough to talk about the King. You've got to know Him. You've got to know Him. You must encounter Him. You must meet Him for yourself. You must bow your heart before Him in love and adoration and worship Him. And when you do, you too will leave another way. You will leave a different way than you came. Jeremiah said, seek me, you will find me. When you seek me with all your heart. Not your head, your heart. Let's say this. I was finishing this message all up and everything, and I thought I had it all buttoned up, and all of a sudden the Lord said, I want you to go back and look at something. So I went back and He said, did you see what Herod said? I said, what, Lord? He said, you see, Herod said, go and seek diligently for Him. And when you have found Him, come and tell me so I can come and worship Him. And I said, Lord, what are You trying to say? He said, no second-hand seeking allowed. What does that mean? Nobody can find Him for you. Nobody can find Him for you. Nobody can seek Him out for you. Nobody can press in for you. Nobody can get in His presence for you. Nobody can do that. It is a personal, individual, intimate thing between you and the Lord. No second-hand seeking allowed. The very best that I can do is be like the star that points the way. That's the very best that we can do is be a star that shines and says, look at what He did in my life. Look at the difference He made in my life. I promise you, if you encounter Him, you will leave a different way. If you encounter Him, you will be changed. You will not be the same. You will not be the same person. He will change you. He will make you like Him. And my friend, that's what this world is in dire need of today. They're not in need of religion. They're in need of Jesus. And when you find him, you will leave a different way. Wise men still seek him. And the best part about that is wise men still find him. Because according to the scripture, he said, if you seek for me, you find me. If you feel after me, you'll find me. Because I'm not far from any one of you. Isn't he so wonderful that he doesn't require us to make that journey to Jerusalem? That all of us have to at one time in our life, well, you got to go to Israel if you're going to find the Lord. That's where he's at. He's over in Israel. And you got to go to that place where he's born in that manger. And then you got to look for him, and maybe you'll find him and maybe you won't. But he's right here. He's as close as the mention of his name. If you reach for him with your heart, you'll find him. If you seek him with all your heart, he said, I'll be found of you. And you will leave a different way. You will leave a different way. Can you just lift your hands today and thank Jesus for being so real? And thank him for being so available to us, so close to us. Father, we just worship you today. We thank you for the gift of eternal life. We thank you for the gift of a relationship with Jesus Christ. We thank you for the gift of the person of Jesus Christ, that we can know him personally, that we can encounter him, that we can not only seek him, but we can find him, and we can encounter him. Lord Jesus, we can encounter you. We can experience your love and your goodness and your mercy. We can know you personally, and we can be changed into the same likeness from glory to glory by the Spirit of the Lord. We become like what we worship. Whatever you worship, whatever you focus on, whatever your attention and your heart is set on, you become like that. That's why people today, there's so many in this world, you look around you and evil is on the rampage. Evil is on the rampage. There's violence on every hand. There's anger and there's hatred and there's unbelievable perversion, and it's just running rampant. And why is it? Why is it? It's because people's hearts are set on the wrong thing. They're becoming like what they look at. They're becoming like at what has captured their attention and their affection. The Bible says, set your attention, set your affection, set your heart on things above. Not on things of this earth.
That's right.
For you're dead and your life is hid with Christ in God.
Yes.
Would you stand? Oh, hallelujah. I don't know about you, but I know this. I'm leaving different today.
Yes. Amen.
I'm leaving a different way.
Different way.
Hallelujah. Oh, blessed be Jesus. Blessed be Jesus. Because today I've come into his presence. And today I've encountered him. Today, let me just say this today as we're standing. If you came in here with a heavy load today, you don't have to take it home with you. If you came in here all depressed or discouraged, you don't have to leave that way. If you came in here all frustrated and agitated and worried and fearful and anxious about what's happening in the world and what's going to happen next, you don't have to leave that way. You can leave it all right here. And you can leave another way.
Amen.
Don't take the same path. Hallelujah. I'm not walking back by that stuff. I'm not walking back by that anxiety. I'm not walking back by that stress. I'm not walking back by that weary. I'm not walking back by that worry and by that fear. I am going back a different way. I'm going home a different way. Because I've encountered Jesus today. Because I've been in his presence today. And I have been changed. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Give him some praise today. Just lift your hands all over the house and let's just thank him today. Jesus, thank you.
Thank you for this wonderful season, this wonderful Christmas season, Lord, when we celebrate your love, when we celebrate the gift, when we celebrate who you are in our lives, in our hearts. Lord, we thank you that we have been changed now, Lord. Use us to reach somebody in this Christmas season. Let others see Jesus in us. Let us be the star that points the way. Let us be the star that points the way. We know there's no secondhand seeking. We can't find you for them. But we can point the way, Jesus. We can show them the path that they can follow, Lord. That will bring them into your presence. And they'll be changed forever. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.